Hi, friends. Welcome to the Scripture Society podcast, where we help women on their journey of knowing and loving Jesus more and more every day. Our hope is that we can help you tell a more beautiful story and grow in your knowledge of the one who wrote it.
Hey, Kylie.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi, Christy.
Surprise, we have Christy here. Yeah, the first time I didn't greet Christy when I greeted Kylie, and that felt rude.
I know.
Like, I wanted to wait for the introduction, but y'all know her. She's the best.
And she's here.
She's here.
I feel like it's weird when podcasts, like, wait to introduce the guests, but they're, like, there.
Right. Just waiting.
So we're not doing that.
That. If you guys don't know Christy, you should. She's the best woman in the world. You're a loss if you don't know her. Truly.
Correct.
So sorry for you. So grateful to the Lord that she is our bestie and our mentor.
Yeah.
So thank you, Christy.
Thanks for coming. Your third episode.
Third episode. Woo!
Yay! Okay, so we're just like not even bothering with the chit-chat these episodes because we're getting right into the meat. So tonight... I keep saying tonight, like dating, like we're recording. I just realized that. I'm like, so tonight. Anyways, on this episode, we're talking about the immutability of God. And I will say, I think most people are not going to be familiar with this word.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another, you might have called it or heard it be said, immutable.
Yes.
It's.
Yeah.
What does that mean? What does that mean, Kylie?
You were going to say more first.
I did too. I did too.
See, I also thought I was going to say more. And then, I think it's good that you mentioned that it's tonight because it is 9:14 while we're recording this episode.
Every time you record two episodes, the second one is always like a little bit
loopy, silly, goofy.
It's okay. You're just getting us real.
Which is great. Who wants to define immutable or immutability? Or I can.
Go for it.
I always think about immutability sort of like a mutation, but it's the N, so it's not able to change.
That's
so,
really helpful.
Perfect. Yeah. Not able to mutate. So basically, it's just unchanging. Immutable is unchanging. So when we talk about how God is immutable, that means that he is forever unchanging. He does not have the ability to change. It's not in his nature to change at all.
Yeah.
Which seems maybe like, doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah, why does that matter?
Why does that matter? But it actually kind of changes everything. And,
spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Important. It's important, actually. It's why we're doing a whole episode on it. So, why don't you tell us why it's important, Kylie or Christy, either one of you.
No, that's good. I'll just double down on what you said. We're talking about how God does not change. He never has changed. He never will change. And I'll just throw out there maybe one way that this slips in, misbelief slips in, is thinking that the God of the New Testament is different than the God of the Old Testament.
I had one of those questions.
Oh,
no, that's
so
great.
Sorry.
This is great.
I think with a lot of these attributes, a lot of the more well-known ones, I think that it's really hard to find the misbelief about it because we would all say God is loving, God is faithful. But especially this one, I think that this one is actually misunderstood frequently. And I've heard it articulated by really well-meaning people that I love a lot of saying, like, talking about God like he has learned how to be merciful in the New Testament. And that's the kind of language that's kind of like does not go well with this.
Alternatively, that we can change God's mind. If we just pray hard enough, if we just intercede hard enough, if we just speak in the name of the Lord and declare enough, then we will be prosperous. You know what I mean? Like, we will get his blessing. We will control God. Change. Sorry.
No, that was good. That was really good.
Past my bedtime.
Yeah. No, that's true. I think... we literally can't go an episode without talking about Jen Wilkin, but I've heard her talk about how one of the reasons that this attribute is really good is that, and it kind of ties into how God is self-existent, which we'll talk about in another episode. If God could change or could be swayed, he's no longer trustworthy. Mm-hmm. And if God could change, first of all, how could we trust a single thing that he says?
Right. And I think that because we're humans and our nature is change. We're always changing. We're always inconsistent. We always say things and then don't actually do them, or, you know, grow in our lives. Like, the whole point of human life is sort of to grow up and to change. The only constant we know is change. Mm. And so to think of a being that doesn't have that nature is kind of outside of the context that we have in our reality.
Yeah.
On this earth, at least.
No, that's true. Okay. Do you have any thoughts before we look at some scripture, Christy?
I don't want to jump ahead of what we're saying. I just feel like this one is so important because you think about every other attribute of God. This is like a gold seal of dependability on every one of the attributes. It's saying,
I love that.
This is the way God is. And actually, it's the way he's always been and the way he always will be. I mean, he will never change from this attribute. And so it gives this incredible amount of peace when we learn about these attributes, because unlike every other human on earth, we can completely depend on him to always be faithful. Yes. We can completely depend on him to always be loving. You can completely depend on him and fill in the blank, you know, infinitely with all of his attributes, and just know, and that is the way he will always be throughout my whole life. And it is it is mind-blowing in the sense that we are not used to it. We are not used to it in humanity. We don't understand it in our own selves, like how we are toward others either. We don't see that kind of dependability in our, you know, the way we are either. And so it does take some adjusting to wrap our minds around it. But the fact that he is that way is incredibly comforting. It's incredibly comforting. So much safety there.
That's really good.
And the fact that it is who he is, it's his nature, meaning he's not deciding not to change. He's not like, today, no, not change. You know what I mean? Like, he cannot change. Which is crazy to think about. I know we mentioned this last episode, but talking about Jackie Hill Perry's book, the Holier Than Thou.
Yeah, that's what it's called, right?
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
She talks about how because God is holiness, that attribute makes him the most trustworthy being, the only trustworthy being in the entire universe. I feel like this is the same thing that's true about immutability. And I love how you said that this is a seal on all of his characteristics, because that means that our behavior, our condition, what we do has no effect on who God is.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
What's so interesting to me is that this is often not talked about, but this attribute is so closely tied up in how God reveals himself as Yahweh, calling himself I am who I am, as in there's no room for change. This is who I am. That's how God reveals himself.
That's right.
And the reason that's important is because that's the foundation that he's building his promises on. He's saying, you can trust me because I will be the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
He's not going to love you more or love you less, depending on how he feels. You are loved. You are saved. You are treasured. That's it. He's not going to be more mad at you or more spiteful of you. And so his immutability makes him the only, not just the most, but the only trustworthy being that we have access to.
That's good.
So true.
So I have a verse for us to look at. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And it's kind of like what we're talking about. The reason we can trust him with those good and perfect gifts is because we have the ability to know, based on his character, that he is not changing. So what he has promised, he will provide. He will be good on his word. And like we say every episode, none of these are in isolation. This is so closely tied with his faithfulness. So closely tied. You know, we're not, you know, really sparsing them. But this is the foundation of that faithfulness, right?
Yes, yes.
That's good.
Completely.
Yeah. I think one scripture that comes to mind is Revelation, all the elders saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
hallowed be thy name. Yeah. You know, like, it shows who was and is and is to come. And that's the chorus that is currently being sung right now in this moment. That will be sung into all of eternity. And we merely, when we worship God, all we are doing is joining that song.
Yeah.
And if the elders, if that's the thing that they're crying out, then man, like, what a gift. How wonderful is that? That he was and is to come.
That's good. Do you have any scriptures that come to mind, Christy?
Just in Malachi. I am the Lord. I do not change.
Yes.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. Yeah. No, that's, I mean,
Also love how we have, you know, kind of some verses pulled from all over the Bible.
When I try and pull scripture, I'm like, I refuse to only pull from the New Testament.
Right.
I want it everywhere. And it's literally for this point, actually.
Yes.
This has been, like, so, it's become something that's really important to me of, like, showing that God is the same, because that is the beauty of scripture to me.
Yes, it is. Right. It is the beauty of scripture.
And it really helps when you read the Old Testament through the lens of this. Mm-hmm. It really helps if you have a problem seeing the beauty of the Old Testament. I think it really helps you see, oh, God's being merciful here. And I've never seen him be merciful in the Old Testament, or whatever it is, of kind of seeing that he is the same. You just can't not see it, you know?
Yeah, so, and I think that talking about how he may or may not have changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament, he hasn't. I'm not saying he is. But I do think that because in his kindness, he changes the way that he reveals himself to us. If that makes sense.
Yes.
So like in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit did fall and there is new revelation. There's new sight. There is new things being done because of the Lord's great love. And he knew that that people in that context in that moment needed that sort of revelation.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something that is helpful when we're thinking about his immutability and looking at scripture, when you're like, wow, this seems vastly different. Just know that even if God is revealing himself in a different way than he did before, that doesn't mean that his character is changing.
That's
He's
very
just
helpful.
Choosing how to reveal himself to that given people, because in his great knowledge and wisdom, he knows exactly the way that they need to be revealed, or like he needs to be revealed to them.
Yeah, that's good. I feel like one way that you can kind of see, I mean, obviously one way to look at it is the covenants, but I think, I'm going to drop a big word, the proto-evangelion. Did I say that right? proto-evangelion? Is that it?
Sorry, girl. You're the one in seminary.
I feel like it
Well, we talked about this in a class recently. That's why I'm like.
I'll look it up while we're talking.
Anyways, I bring that up to say that's kind of like, that is the word for the covenant that God makes with Adam and Eve in the garden.
Yeah.
And I bring that up because I think the covenants are a really great way to trace how, like Olive said, every covenant, he's giving a little new piece of his story of redemption, but he hasn't changed. His intention, his character hasn't changed, like Olive is saying. So that's a good way to look at it. You see in Genesis 3, he's already saying what he's going to do.
Right.
In the Gospels, he's already saying what he's going to do in Revelation. But like Olive said, we're getting new pieces of it as time goes on. So he hasn't changed. His intention hasn't changed. But our understanding of it does.
Right. Yes. Right. Yes.
And even in small form, that happens in our lives.
Yeah.
Right? Like our us growing in knowledge, we would never say this, but us growing in knowledge is not, oh, God is merciful now that I understand he's merciful.
Right.
He always has been, but we're growing in our knowledge of him.
Right.
So it's like the same thing. That's exactly what's happening in the Bible as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, even in Acts with Pentecost and the Holy Spirit falling and moving, the Holy Spirit was still active and the same in the Old Testament, even if he wasn't working through people exactly the same way, he was still there. And I love thinking about Genesis and how he was hovering over the deep before creation was even creation. He was always there, and Jesus was always there too. And so I think when we're talking about immutability, I think it's helpful to mention Trinitarianism a little bit too. Because God is three in one, that means that all of the personhoods of the Trinity, so Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are eternal and immutable as well.
That's good.
That's right.
That because Jesus doesn't change. His sacrifice is unchanging. It still has the same effect.
Yeah.
Then, now, and forever.
Yeah.
Same thing with the Holy Spirit.
I think to round it out a little bit, I think that we would challenge you. I would challenge you. If you think God seems different in the New Testament, I think the more you study the Old Testament, the more you see the same character
yes.
of God throughout the entire Bible.
Yeah.
His tenderness and his love and his mercy is, when you really study the Old Testament, it is easy to see.
Yeah.
It is all through the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And it's through how he created the laws and how tender he was toward women and how he cared for the people in a different way, on a different level than those surrounding countries. The way he continued to go after the Jews, even when they were rebellious over and over and over. And he would provide, think about the judges. He would provide a new judge for them when they cry out and he'd deliver them and then they do it again. And he would provide another one and they do it again. Yes. Like these sorts of stories happen throughout the Old Testament. Mm. And God's infinite, his tender loving kindness is evident throughout that whole section of scripture. And it's not just in the New Testament. So, so anyway, you know, I challenge you.
Yeah,
read more of the Old Testament if you think that it's that way, because it can stand up to your challenge and you'll be surprised.
Yeah, experience it yourself.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah,
did I say the word right?
Proto-evangelium.
Jellium.
It's U-M.
Okay.
Jellium.
Mm-hmm. It's a big word.
Yeah,
it is. Like only partially.
I don't know this word.
Yes,
it's a good word.
It's a good word.
I know. I love to keep big words like that in my back pocket.
I love it. Yeah, life of it now.
Yeah, literally. That's good. Okay, so I want to ask this question. So Chrissy and I have been leading this Old Testament survey class.
Mm-hmm.
And something Chrissy asks every Sunday after we go through a different section of the Bible is, what do we lose if this book of the Bible is not in the Bible? But I want to ask, what do we lose if this is not true about God?
Utter chaos.
Yep.
Utter chaos.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know who God is, what to depend on. Is what he said yesterday the same thing as what he said today? You know, can I trust him to be completely different? And will the sun rise on the evil and on the good? Will he send rain on the just and on the unjust today?
Yeah.
You know, like everything, utter chaos. Yeah. When I say that, I literally mean utter chaos. Yeah.
Nature-wise, people-wise, literally,
nothing to depend on.
You would be, gosh, it's because I'm shivering even thinking about saying this. But like, he would be the father of lies.
Yes.
He would be a liar.
Yes.
If he's changing, then he would be a liar and he would be the father of lies.
Yes.
And he would be the master of chaos. Mm. Does that sound familiar?
Yes. Right.
And so...
Yeah.
Also, another thing, too, is if God is not immutable and eternal, then that means that he's becoming.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's becoming, then that means that he is becoming better or he's becoming worse.
Right.
And so the problem with that understanding is that God is already perfect.
That's it.
Already perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's not going to get better.
Right.
Because he's already perfect. And he's not going to get worse. Praise God. Because he's already perfect.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And what is so interesting, and I'm not even saying this like to have like a point in saying it, but I've been thinking a lot about like looking at things God does and like thinking like, well, what does that reveal about him? So what's so interesting is having a God who doesn't change, who chose to create creatures who do change. Mm-hmm. And that seemed good and beautiful to him. Mm-hmm. And I think I say that to say like, we should all think on like, what does that reveal about him?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well,
it's just so interesting.
I don't know. Did he create us to change or did he create us to be in perfect relationship with him?
Well, I mean, change in the sense of like growth.
Okay.
You know, even if it's physical or knowledge-wise,
I get what you mean.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this is post-fall, not like original design.
I say also original design.
Yeah. I mean,
well,
they didn't know everything they were going to change. They were going to change in their knowledge.
Like growing
they were going to change
of God
in their
growing in knowledge of creation.
Yeah.
Like a lot to learn, you know? Like the ability to learn means
growing their ability
that
to
you're
love,
growing,
growing into the ability to
yeah.
in relationship, all kinds of things.
Because I do think there will be an aspect of that in the new heavens and the new earth, not physically, but like
mentally, mm-hmm. and like even like we talk about all the time, the ability to continue to learn new things about God for yes. all eternity yes. means that we're changing and growing.
Wait, that's so true. I've never thought about that.
Yeah. So I just think that's so interesting that yeah. he saw that as like
to me that says about him that he wanted. I don't know. Maybe this doesn't hold up. I think it says something about his desire for a relationship with us.
Yeah.
His desire for us to choose him and to grow toward him. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. A choice.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not putting it in good words, but no. That's the way it makes me feel that mm-hmm. it's saying something about him wanting to be near us.
Yes.
Because yeah, if his desire is to be known by us, which is already crazy that mm-hmm. he even wants that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then if he already gave us knowledge, then there'd be no knowing.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we'd already know.
Yeah.
And so it's a gift because it's a process of, it's sort of like the process of learning. When you mm-hmm. work hard to learn something, it means more to you. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole gift is mm-hmm. the hard work mm-hmm. that you do to do that. Mm-hmm. And God could have revealed himself in any way to us, but mm-hmm. he chose mm-hmm. to do it in a way where there's a process of us getting to know mm-hmm. him, mm-hmm. which is really beautiful.
And which is interesting because we don't want that.
Right.
Yeah.
We want it to be knowledge. Yeah, one and done. Yeah. We like, I just think about the way that growing up, even in high school, I thought like, I understand that I'm a sinner, need a savior. That's all I needed to know,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And it's like, absolutely not. Like, my love for him has grown because my knowledge of him has grown. And so I just think, yeah, that's so interesting. It definitely does say something about his intimacy with us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think also the process of perfection,
mm-hmm.
because if he is perfect and if we're made in his image, that doesn't mean that we're not made to be perfect, but he's giving us a pathway to be perfected,
mm-hmm. yeah.
to be mm-hmm. our fullest mm-hmm. and wholest mm-hmm. form,
yeah.
Just like Jesus was. And so I think that there's something too in the nature that he gave us to be able to be perfected.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That's so good. And it just like, I don't know, just shows the creativity of his design, not just for humans, but for the story of redemption. That is the story that he came up with is one of change and growth on a large scale, but even personally for every person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, it's a free will piece too, because mm-hmm. we can also choose to not grow. We can also choose to mm-hmm. revert
mm-hmm.
and to not be perfected, whatever the opposite mm-hmm. of that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good.
Maybe not perfected is the right word, because we'll never be perfect like God, but completed.
Mm-hmm.
Like God says mm-hmm. in Philippians, of the work that the good Lord has started in you will come to completion on the day of the Lord.
No, yeah, mm-hmm. that's good.
I think it also tells a little bit about him and his love of beauty and poetry, in the sense that there's a story here. Mm-hmm. There's a love story happening. There's a process happening. He's telling a story. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? That. And I love that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And his patience. It goes back to him being patient. Yes, it doesn't require us to be instantly fixed or healed.
Mm-hmm.
He's patient.
Mm-hmm.
And he shows us the patience by giving us the ability to grow and change.
Mm-hmm. And him as a father, I think, you know, this is what parents do when they have kids. Mm-hmm. They are watching from the very first day their children grow and change mm-hmm. and learn, and they're a part of every moment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we think about God as our Father, he created us for him to be a part of every moment of us discovering new things of his creation, mm-hmm. discovering new things mm-hmm. about himself, discovering new things about ourselves.
Yes.
Like, it's like, there's like wonder, maybe wonder's not the right word, because it's not like he's discovering or seeing something he's never seen before, but it is so interesting to think of like these, he's wanting to be a part of us seeing these things for the first time. It almost like, and it does maximize his glory.
Yeah.
Like, he could create a beautiful world that's empty, but he filled it with people to appreciate the beautiful world, because that gives him glory.
Yes. Yes. You
know?
Yes. Oh, I love that.
I love that too.
So good.
That is so good. Okay, so how do we try to be immutable? I know that's like a weird abstract question, but like, there's ways.
Yes. Yes. I feel like we often think that when we are walking in sin, that we cannot change.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
I feel like that's when we think mm-hmm. that it is just, this is the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
Mm. This is the way I've always been. This is the way it's going to be. I'm just going to struggle with this, fill in the blank,
yeah.
you know, forever. It's just, I've tried. Mm. I've tried to, you know, set it aside and yeah. evolve. So
yeah.
I just am not going to change.
We're saying people don't change. Men don't change.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
They'll never change.
Right.
Yeah.
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 It makes me think back to when I first started struggling with anxiety, I talked a lot like, I'm an anxious person.
Mm.
And I had a lot of people who were like, no.
Don't say that.
Don't say it like that.
Yeah.
You struggle with anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, and that's like almost, you know, and I think sometimes we can even do it with personality things. I mentioned in the sovereignty episode about perfectionism. Mm-hmm. It can be a cute, fun little thing to say, I'm a perfectionist.
Right.
Yeah.
You are not a perfectionist. You are being a perfectionist right now.
Or you're trying to be a perfectionist.
Yes. Right. So I think, you know, it happens when it just kind of makes me think of when we're not, you know, we go to scripture to learn about the Lord mm-hmm. and in learning about the Lord, we are mm-hmm. able to see ourselves rightly. Mm-hmm. And I think ways, you know, it just makes me think of when we think this is who I am
yeah.
instead of letting God say, no, these are the only things that are absolutely true about right. you. Yes. Everything else is up yes. for discussion.
Yes.
Right.
And I think it is so easy, especially nowadays. We live in a culture of labels. We love a label. Mm-hmm. I am this, I am this, and whatever zodiac sign, whatever personality type, right. like we want to be labeled for some reason. And that then leads us to think I can't change.
Right.
That's
right.
me.
Right. Because that's my identity.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think this is a really interesting one because I feel like the rest of our attributes and communicable attributes we've been talking about of like, okay, we try to be sovereign because we try to be in control. Mm-hmm. But I really think that instead of us trying not to be immutable, we're putting that pressure on other people in our lives to be immutable. We're making other, we're treating other people like God.
Yeah.
Like, I think that for me personally, relational change is hard.
Mm-hmm.
When my friends get married and then we're not as close as mm-hmm. we used to be because, fine, you have a husband or whatever and you, like, want to spend time with him and not me. That's really weird, but whatever. You know, like, you have your own family now. You know, like, I joke about it, but I think that there's some pain in that.
Yeah.
Like that it's hard. It's hard to accept when people change and grow apart, or like friendships. Mm-hmm. If your friend moves across the world and they change and they become friends with other people and they're becoming mm-hmm. different people,
mm-hmm.
that's hard. Mm-hmm. As a mother, you watch your kid grow up and change. And I think that there's a lot of joy in that, but there's also a lot of pain in that.
Yeah.
And I think that what we have to realize is that we were not created to not change.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we make other people live up to that standard, we're trying to make them God. We're putting a burden of God on them mm-hmm. that they
cannot
carry.
And setting ourselves up for disappointment.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Or if you're like, okay, you're my best friend, so you're going to be my person and you're never going to change ever, you know?
Yeah.
People can't bear that because they're not God. They're going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's healthy and right, just mm-hmm. as you can change. So I feel like mm-hmm. we give ourselves all the grace for change, but then we try to make other people fit in our little boxes so that we can understand them and control them.
Mm.
I think it's another form of control.
Mm. Oh, for sure. Mm. Yeah. Mm. And it really is what you're touching on is trying to find stability in things that aren't stable.
Right.
That aren't God.
Right.
We're not stable. And that doesn't have to be a completely negative thing. You know, I think we can, once when we choose to find our stability in God, we can see the fact that people around us change as a beautiful thing. Because we're not placing something on them. You know, when we're finding our stability in something that does not move, that means when everything else is moving, we can see the goodness in it.
And you can enjoy them as a people who are becoming the kinds of people who God wants them to be, hopefully.
Yeah.
But I think, and this is like really morbid too, but I think it's also like a desire to stave off death.
Yeah.
Because like,
oh yeah, aging probably plays a role.
Yeah. I mean, in my life, my family's been going through the season that everyone probably goes through at some point, where you watch your grandparents age and mm-hmm. not be able to take care of themselves anymore. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that change is hard.
Yeah.
And I think that because we're all young and spry right now, we haven't had to like face the pain of changing and decline mm-hmm. when we get to the age where mm-hmm. we're starting to not have our independence and mm-hmm. not be able to do the things that we used to be able right. to do
right.
You know, like I'm only 24, but I'm still like, why can I not stay up all night like I did when I was in high school, you know what I mean? Like, I think that as we age and as we get closer to death, we start to see the ugliness mm-hmm. of death
mm-hmm.
and I think mm-hmm. that it's a good reminder of, even though we are in decline, or, you know, boomers or old people or whatever, they don't understand the younger generations. Like, yeah. God is not like that.
No, yeah.
And we have a God who is never going to die and who is never going to be defeated by death the same way that we will.
Yeah.
Death will never, and aging will never have the same effect on him the way it does on us.
Right.
And so it goes back to the point of, like, my parents, I love them so much. I get a lot of structure from them even still. Like, they're mm-hmm. my support system even mm-hmm. still. But one day there's going to be a season where I'm going to have to be their support system.
Mm-hmm.
And right. it's a hard but a beautiful exchange.
Yep.
And so, I don't know. I just was thinking about death.
Yeah.
Too.
No, that's good. No, that's really, that's good. A good practical application.
It is
that's
a very really good application, because our culture fights that.
Right. Right. You know? Yeah. And we try to be ageless.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that is trying to be like God.
Mm-mm.
It's yeah. not the way we were created.
Mm. That's good.
I feel like this attribute changes the way I pray. Going back to what we were talking about, and people thinking we can't change, or other people can't change. I have noticed this attribute playing into me having more faith to pray for people to change,
mm-hmm. yes.
To pray for, you know, barriers to be broken in people's lives, and for sin to be bound yeah. in people's lives and in my own life, to believe and have the faith to pray those things yeah. more consistently in yeah. my life. And not believe that lie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's really good. So
that is really good.
I think that's a good application of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that is
helpful.
Absolutely. That is.
Yeah.
So what should we do instead? We've kind of been touching on it. Instead of reaching for immutability in these ways, it changes the way we pray, maybe gives us, more, of a beautiful perspective of other people changing, even in hard ways. What else, like when we reflect on this attribute, what should be our response, I guess, is what I'm asking.
I think greater worship of the one who doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
I think kind of like what we were saying before, of fully putting our trust in the promises of God. Mm. And the fact that he's unable to change, that he has always been the same, making him. And I think that this attribute is applicable to all attributes. Mm-hmm. So he's unchangingly loving. He's unchangingly merciful. He's unchangingly just. He's unchangingly sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this is sort of the lens in which we see all the other yeah. communicable and incommunicable attributes, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. he's a perfected form of every attribute.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it just leads us to greater reverence and greater mm-hmm. worship, because again, the fact that a God like that wants to be known and wants to be unchanging and wants me to put my trust in him mm-hmm. is crazy, mm-hmm. but that's his desire,
yeah.
not just something he demands, which mm-hmm. he does, mm-hmm. you know, not mm-hmm. or I should say command rather than demand, but something that he wants mm-hmm. for us, because mm-hmm. it is good for us,
right? Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think it changes the way that I read scripture when I think that the God I'm reading about is the God that yeah. that is active in my life.
Yes.
The God that I am praying to.
Yes.
Like Christy said, it colors the way I pray, because maybe I can be a lot more specific.
Yeah.
I've mm-hmm. seen you do this. You are still this God.
Right.
Yeah. I find that when I'm praying and I am in my prayers saying what I know is true about God, not only does it build my faith, but like, I actually feel like, oh yeah, I'm almost in the moment telling myself, this is why I'm praying. Yeah. This is true. And why would I not if that's true? And I think the fact that God is unchanging means that I can look at scripture not almost as like a fable.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. as history yeah. that I can base my everyday mm-hmm. life on. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's just like a good book, right. you know, full right. of moral stories right. types of right. things. So totally. I think it changes the way I read. It changes the way I pray. Yeah.
It's incredibly faith building.
Yeah. It is.
It's incredibly faith building. Like, you know. You have a boldness in prayer that you yes. wouldn't have had yes. otherwise because
right. absolutely
what happened then is applicable, like mm-hmm. you said, today. Mm. Dependable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts?
I just love that we, you know, that we said this is everything. This yeah. is incredibly important. Without this attribute, mm-hmm. I mean, they're all incredibly important, mm-hmm. but without this one, everything falls right. apart, mm-hmm. utter chaos. And yeah. so anyway,
yeah,
you guys,
yeah.
this whole, I just love this theme that y'all are going with.
Yeah.
The attributes of God, they're real game changers in how we view God yeah. and mm-hmm. how we understand him and how we communicate about him. And then, but more importantly, it's not just head knowledge, you know, it changes us inside and grows our faith and mm-hmm. changes our prayers and yeah. brings peace and joy mm-hmm. in life, knowing that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love how you said that it is the seal on everything mm-hmm. else. I think that the attributes, reflecting on the attributes, not only gives us a structure and a system to read mm-hmm. the word, mm-hmm. because we can look for these characteristics in the Bible in any section of scripture, but also it gives us a structure and system to pray mm-hmm. and reflect on mm-hmm. of, you know, I've really been into liturgies recently mm-hmm. and different psalms of, Lord, thank you for your immutability. Thank yes. you for your eternal power. Thank yes. you that yeah. you're unchanging with me even when I rebel. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your sustaining mm-hmm. grace that even when I literally spat on your face, even when I was rebellious, like your grace still sustained me and got me to where I am today. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your yeah. sovereign power. Like when you start to take these attributes and not only reflect, see them in scripture, but also mm-hmm. see them in your own life, in mm-hmm. your own walk. Mm-hmm. Like it's a game changer mm-hmm. for both yeah, your scripture time and also your prayer time.
It is.
And so I'm someone who like struggles to know. It took me a long time. I'm still working on having a more vibrant prayer life. Mm-hmm. And this has been the thing that's probably helped mm-hmm. me the most, mm-hmm. even know yeah. where to even start.
Right.
With
right.
adoration and thanking yeah. God for mm-hmm. who he is.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, thanks for joining us, Christy.
Oh, it's a joy.
We loved having you on.
Spending time with you guys.
Mm, thank you. Well, okay. Thanks for spending time with us today. This was such a good episode. A shorter one than our long ones recently, but thanks for tuning in. If you're ready to go deeper in your study of scripture, we've got a Galatians study coming out in the spring of 2026, and we'd love for you to get it and start studying with others. You can find more episodes or leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you'd like to support the Scripture Society, you can find our resources or donate at thescripturesociety.com.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for joining us for that conversation. We hope you enjoyed it. If you're interested in finding out more, you can follow us on Instagram or head over to our website at thescripturesociety.com.